Psalm 62. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done.
It would be great if you had that psalm open in front of you. If you haven't got a Bible, don't worry. But if you do have a Bible or a Bible app, then Psalm 62 would be good to refer to over the next few minutes. We're almost at the end of the second week of a government lockdown to help prevent the spread of coronavirus COVID-19 across our society. And I wonder how it is you're feeling today. Frustrated? Fearful? Or are you simply content to stay inside and just wait for the crisis to pass? Of course, the truth is that we're facing an opponent in COVID-19 that our society simply cannot shrug off in the same way that we have so many problems and issues in the past. It's tiny, but sadly it seems, at least in some cases, to be deadly. And whilst we're all very pleased to hear there's very many people who have recovered well or have even only had mild symptoms, we've been really saddened to hear of those many people who have sadly died. It's really difficult. On these Sunday mornings, we're going to be looking at the Bible. And the Bible is the handbook for life that God has given us to navigate our way through this broken, frightening world. And how we do that. We're seeking to understand how better to navigate our way through this broken, frightening world. And the answer must be, the Bible says, that God is our refuge. As I said last week, while skeptics sometimes have told me that Christianity is merely a crutch, my answer is always, well, what are you leaning on then? Because the truth is, all of us need some kind of a crutch. The truth is that in a broken world, we cannot survive on our own. We are not designed to survive on our own. Having a real relationship with a living God is not merely a crutch. It's doing what we are designed for. If you haven't yet discovered that, then you are quite simply not doing what you're designed for. And the uncertainty that we feel when left to ourselves is because we aren't following the Maker's instructions and finding our rest in him. As with everything complex, if we don't follow the Maker's instructions, it's no great surprise that we go wrong. And that's true with our lives as well. And that's what the psalmist here in Psalm 62 has discovered. Because the first point that he wants us to grasp is this, that security is found in God alone. Look at verses 1 and 2 of the psalm. He says, right at the start, so that there's no ambiguity about what his understanding is as he continues this psalm, which is a song. he says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken." In fact, this is a psalm of David. And that means that it's almost certainly written in response to some kind of extreme situation. Now, just to be very clear, David is the great king, the Old Testament king of God's people. And it's the same guy who was a shepherd boy and confronted a giant called Goliath. David and Goliath fame. You may have heard of him if you're not familiar with the Bible. And were we to go back into the Old Testament books of 1 and 2 Samuel, we would find a number of incidents in which David found himself in some kind of, well, a disaster for him. Maybe Psalm 62 was written when he's somewhere in 1 Samuel, where David's predecessor, bad King Saul, was plotting to have a go at David and to get rid of him, knowing that God had anointed David as a much better king. Or maybe we're in 2 Samuel chapter 15, where David's son Absalom was plotting to overthrow him, and the horrible things that followed from that. Yet whatever the situation is, the reality of experience is clear, and it's emphatic in the way he expresses himself in the psalm. Look again. "Only in God," he says, "can my soul find a place to be calm. Only God can save me. Only God is strong enough, firm enough, stable enough, unchanging enough to be the one I can rely on. Only God is the place, if you like, where I can truly be at ease." In the world that is always struggling, and that right now is dealing with what is, let's be honest, a global catastrophe, actually that's really good news for all of us. That God is the one we can rely on. That it's not the economy. That it's not the government. That it's not the mountains. That it's not even the air we breathe. All of which are good gifts from God. No, it's God himself is our refuge. And actually, it's that same good news, literally that same gospel, which is what good news means, which is that word gospel means good news. It's that same gospel, that same good news that is described and shared all the way through the Bible. From the opening chapters of the book of Genesis, right at the beginning, right the way through to the closing chapters of the book of Revelation, right at the end, the message of the Bible is the same. It is consistent that the righteous, meaning those who are right in God's eyes, clean before him, are righteous. They live by faith. Literally, we are made clean by trusting him. Martin Luther discovered that in Romans chapter 1. The righteous will live by faith. That keeps being said again and again and again and implied again and again and again. It is trusting God and him alone. Which, of course, begs the question to all of us. Do I have faith in him? And therefore, will he accept me? It's a challenging question, isn't it? Am I willing to put my faith and trust in him, to step out and accept his rescue plan rather than my own? Am I willing to turn my back on my own ideas and priorities and ways of doing life? And to turn and thank him for the Lord Jesus dying for me, and turn and ask him to rescue me and take me his way. Am I righteous by faith or not? Another English translation talks about rest, that word rest, in a slightly different way. This, of course, was written originally not in English but in Hebrew. And when you translate the Hebrew, there's another way to express it, which is quite provocative, where David is quoted as saying, "My soul waits in silence for the Lord, finds rest in God." That idea of rest is a big one. I'm sure, like you, I've been intrigued in these last couple of weeks of social isolation and lock-in. On those occasions when I have been outside, particularly on exercise walks that we do once a day near our house, I've been intrigued by the complete silence. Very unusually, no cars. Where we've been walking in the countryside, very near our home, no people, no aeroplanes overhead, no other sounds at all. I've heard it said by historians that if you lived 200 years ago, the loudest thing that you'd ever have heard, unless you'd been in a war, is thunder. And the rest of the time, basically, you would have enjoyed the silence of nature. But of course, in our world, there's noise all of the time, until now. Yet peaceful as it is, because of what's causing the silence in our world right now, the silence is, well, it is slightly restful, but it's not completely pleasant, is it? There's a pensive nature of what's going on. Behind the silence, there is an uneasy tension that seems to be waiting for the broken to be broken. It's almost as if everyone is waiting for something to happen, as of course we are. Now, the idea of rest here in the Bible points to that of, well, a different nature of rest. A rest of no more contending, of no more hassle, of stillness, of real, relaxed, tension-free peace. And no wonder, for when you look at the psalmist has to contend with, then you can fully understand. Our security, he says, is found in God alone. And the second point is, no matter what the opposition. Look at verses 3 and 4. How long, he says, will you assault a man or shout at a man? How long will you throw him down, literally murder him? This leaning wall, this tottering fence. They fully intend to topple him, says the psalmist, from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. What's going on? Well, David, as he writes this psalm, he wants rest because he is the subject of scorn and oppression and persecution and presumably attack. On every side, it seems as though he can hear attack and calamity and horror and cursing, and it feels as though it's coming down on him. Society sometimes does that, even in ordinary times, doesn't it? The constant aggravation of being told that there are a whole range of different alternatives, but the one you've chosen is wrong. And it's particularly difficult when you are told frequently that trust in the Lord, the God of the Bible, is infantile or foolish or stupid or somehow dangerous. That the God of the Bible is bad. But it gets worse when opinion is set against you personally and all you want to do is hide. You know, the Lord Jesus warned his people clearly, as he wanted them to know. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And the certainty that knowing him presents produces a threat somehow that the rest of the world sometimes doesn't like, and so opposition. I've never really understood why people hate Jesus. He healed the sick, he helped the poor, he raised the dead, he taught people to love their neighbour. I don't really understand why people hate Jesus, except for his claim to be the Son of God and King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in which case perhaps the authority that he declares is one that the world can't cope with. And that was David's experience in his relationship with God. Yet, whatever was the cause of fear and uncertainty and struggle, there is a clear answer. And David's response to all that's going on around him, crowding in on him, battering him down, David's response is to cry, to marshal his soul and to cry out to his soul and say to his own soul, this is what you've got to do. Look again. You see, the security is found in God alone, no matter what opposition and no matter what occurs. Look at verse 5. Find rest, he says, O my soul, in God alone, for my help comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. And the point is, verse 7 continues, my salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Listen, soul, says David, don't look at what's going on all around you. Look at God. Find rest, not in what's around you, but in God. Because my salvation, my rescue, and my honour, verse 7, depend on him. You know, in the age in which we live, it might be thought that whilst David's salvation, in other words, his eternal security and hope of heaven, well, they matter a lot. Should his honour really be a matter for his concern? Why does he say, my honour depend on God? That's a very strange thing. Isn't honour, after all, just pride in another guise? Just a bit strange. But actually, the word that we read here for honour carries with it a sense of, well, it carries with it a sense of weightiness, if you like, of significance. It's the same word that we sometimes read for glory. Anyone who has tried to find significance or glory in anything or anyone other than God is finally always forced to admit that they're chasing after the wind. Because whatever we seek to find glory in will always ultimately let us down and fail. And that because whoever you are and whatever you have done, one day it will all be gone. Were we to turn to another psalm, Psalm 103, then we would read this in verse 15. Maybe you'd like to turn to it if you have a Bible. Psalm 103, verse 15. It's just a few pages over. Where there the psalmist writes, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, and the wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And you see, with him, we find ourselves investing not in ourselves, who will not last, but we find ourselves investing in eternity. The prophet Jeremiah puts it very starkly in Jeremiah chapter 9. Let me read it to you from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. By all means, turn to it if you have a Bible, but there's no need to. I'll quote it. Jeremiah 9:23 says, this is what the Lord says. Let not man, the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. Do you know, a million years from now, wise men will be forgotten, riches will be meaningless, but those who hope in the Lord will be praising him forever. We thought last week about the story that the Lord Jesus told at the end of his Sermon on the Mount on Matthew chapter 7. You remember the story of the wise and foolish builders? It's very famous. One who builds his life on what is changeable, like building on sand, and the other wise one who builds his life on what Jesus says, on rock that lasts. So says David here again in Psalm 62. Look at verse 8. Trust in him. Remember, he's speaking to his soul. Trust in him, soul, at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. But what about those who don't know? Who won't know? Who find that life somehow works without God perfectly well, thank you very much. Who don't want to know anything about him. What about them? Well, pick up the previous point and read on to verse 9. He says, low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on the balance, they're nothing. And together they're only a breath. See, David's point is that whoever they are, high or low, whatever that means, they won't last. And we all know, if ever there was a time to know, that all of us are only ever a heartbeat away from eternity. Wherever they've got, whatever they've got, won't last, says David. Look at verse 10. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Why not? Well, because they don't last either. As someone said, there are no pockets in a shroud. You can't take any of it with you. Relying on accumulating stuff is not the answer to life. However meaningful it feels at the time, always we want the next thing and the best thing. It's not that there's anything intrinsically wrong with wealth, quite the contrary. But the problem is that reliance that it breeds. So Jesus with the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18, maybe you can read it later on. A young man who had everything he wanted, and yet he wanted eternal life too. But his wealth proved more important to him than his soul. In fact, here in Psalm 62, to make the point as starkly as possible, David equates reliance on wealth with criminal activity. We all know they're not the same, but he wants to mark it out as clear in the reader's mind and his own soul mind. David was immensely wealthy, but he says, look at stolen goods and whatever else. You can't rely on anything, no matter how you have amassed it. And the point is that anything that detracts from knowing God as King, relying on God as King, worshipping God as King, anything that pulls us away from finding rest in God alone can only be in the end wrong for us. Which leads us back to what is said and heard. The final point, that God is the only security. Look at the last two verses of our psalm. One thing God has spoken, says David in verse 11. Two things I have heard or learned. That you, O God, are strong. Remember, the Bible says from everlasting to everlasting you are God. And verse 12. That you, O Lord, are loving. That is a covenant-keeping love. God is merciful. I can rely on him to keep his word. That idea of love, the love of God, is an always and forever love. So the last bit of the verse. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. Now, somehow that seems to come out of nowhere. That last bit, doesn't that undo everything that we've just read? That last assurance may sound a bit threatening. God will give you your just desserts, is what it sounds like David is saying. But actually, that isn't the point at all. Come back to what the psalm is saying. Who do you and I rely on? Whether you're a king, or whatever is the opposite to a king in our culture, who do you rely on? Each of us needs to rely on someone. Whom we can rely on that is bigger than anything else. The answer must be that God will prove himself loving, demonstrate his mercy, show his love to those who rely on him. Here and now, you see, is not all that there is, and David knew that too, which is why he's telling his soul, and the audience looking on, did you see him say, listen, you peoples? He's telling his soul and everyone else, rely on God. He looked forward to that day when God would send a rescuer. We can read in the New Testament how he did come. Jesus, the Son of God, fulfilled all these Old Testament promises. Do you remember we say at Christmas that he was of the house and line of David? God had promised that there would be a king on David's throne who would last forever. And Jesus was regarded as the son of Joseph, born of a virgin Mary. Do you remember the Christmas story? It wraps up this promise of love so well. Born as a baby, grew up to be a man, died on a cross to take the punishment that we deserve and to bring us back into relationship with God, and rose again from the dead to prove it had worked. What did verses 11 and 12 of our psalm say? That you, O Lord, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what they have done. What are they supposed to be doing? Find rest, my soul, in God alone. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said? Maybe the most famous verse in the whole of the Bible. He said to a religious man, looking for answers, for hope, for reality, for eternity. He said this, John chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's the promise. That's the demonstration. That's what we have to do. To believe on the Lord Jesus. To trust him as the rock and the fortress and the unshakable security of our souls. Surely he will reward each person according to what he has done. What has he done? Responded to the love and certainty of God by trusting him. Even with coronavirus, COVID-19. By trusting him. Not for time, because here and now is not all there is, but for eternity. Jesus continues in John chapter 3. He says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." What's the summary of our psalm today? That God is our refuge. And that no matter what the circumstances and what the possibilities, we can find rest, find hope, find trust, find truth by trusting in him and him alone. Jesus came to die for us, to take the punishment we deserve for our rebellion against God. Jesus was raised again from the dead. We're going to think about that on Easter Sunday morning. And we can trust him for time and forever. I really trust that you know that, that you've asked him to rescue you, that your command to your soul is to find rest in God alone. Trust him, and he will not let you down forever.